Usually I'd start the podcast where I'd say, this is a place where you can be inspired to act on and explore your own potential through the real, the raw, and intimate stories of other women. Finding purpose and belonging for women, the confidence and courage to act isn't always easy. Here is where you feel you belong in the conversation. Well, much of that is still true, except in this series, I talk to young women embarking on a career who probably don't feel like they have all the answers yet at all. I talk to women with a few years' experience under their belt to share what's worked and what hasn't for them in their agri careers. And we'll finish with some stories of women who've had no plan at all to be food producers or farmers, but ended up here in any case. And it's my hope that you see yourselves in these conversations, glean some confidence and some inspiration, and understand what young women are thinking in the sector. In amplifying young women's voices, we are building critical pathways for success. So I'm kicking this series off with two sisters who've both chosen to pursue a career in agri, Megan and Emma Blom. And already at a young age, they have had quite a few adventures. Both are currently studying at Lincoln University in New Zealand. And if the Blom name sounds familiar to you, it's because their mum Helen featured on a podcast with me earlier this year. So I'm planning to ask them a few questions. What are their aspirations for a career in agri? And what ignited that? What are the opportunities they see? And how are they thinking about connecting to those opportunities? And I know these two are great networkers and connections, so I'm keen to understand what part this plays in supporting and inspiring them. So let's jump in and talk to Megan and Emma. We've got Emma going first. Is that because she's the youngest?
Yes, sure is.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a wee bit about yourself. What are you doing now? And a little bit about how you grew up.
So currently I'm studying at Lincoln Uni. So I'm first year at the moment. And I'm doing a BCom Ag with accounting, which is going pretty good so far. I'm enjoying it, meeting so many people, which is awesome. Grew up in Southland with the fam band. So I'm second youngest of six. And then grew up on a dairy farm down there. Moved around a little bit around the Balfour, Lumsden area. And then we moved up to the Marlborough Sounds and the Pelorus, where we were running a lodge with the six of us in Nidia Bay, which was a pretty cool lifestyle to have. And then ended my schooling at Marlborough Girls in Blenheim. And now I'm here.
Yeah. And so you girls have starred quite a few TV shows, Country Calendar, and what was that dating one that you were on?
Yeah, The Bachelor, small feature on The Bachelor, which was quite cool.
Small, but so impactful. I mean, handing those muscles. So as well as mum and dad being into dairy farming, of course, they set up a mussel farming business in the Marlborough Sounds and then created a whole food business around that, which I think you've both been sort of involved in as well, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So Megan, let's talk about you.
Well, I think we sort of followed the same trajectory until like when I turned 18, like left school at the end of year 13, and I went to Wellington and I did my first year of uni at Vic, studying just BCom with marketing. And I always knew that I wanted to go into food. So I wanted to learn about marketing and sales and customers and consumer need and everything like that. And I didn't really consider going to Lincoln until I'd finished my first year at Vic. And I didn't really see myself finishing my uni in the middle of the city and everything. It was so far removed from sort of where I've grown up and everything. I did love my first year, but I just wanted to change it up. So I went and worked for Nick down on the dairy farm in Southland, my brother. No, but actually, this is the question everyone asked me, like, oh, what's it like working for your brother?
Because we were both down there together because it was over the lockdown. So then the three of us were living together, Nick, Megan and I, running the farm. And then it was actually quite cool.
It was like, awesome.
Spending family time together and learning a bit.
And yeah, like people always ask, like, oh, what's it like working for your brother? But I love working for Nick because like he's really good at teaching, so he's good at explaining things, and then if you do something wrong, he doesn't get angry. He just goes, well, how could I have explained it better? Do you need help? Do you need me to show you again? Sort of
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
He is the employer of the future, isn't he? That's what we need.
And at the end of the day, just get like, it's so simple, but it makes such a difference. You just say, oh, cheers for that, Megan. Good job. Like just constantly just thanking you for your work. It's so nice. Yeah, so I really enjoy working with Nick.
Yeah. Do you think, because you girls have had a real adventure, I mean, if people listening to this went, oh yeah, they grow up on a dairy farm and then whipped up to the isolated Marlborough Sounds. But actually, when I first met your mum years ago, she was deciding to take you on a worldwide adventure where you literally went traveling. So I'm wondering if that, you know, because you did have lots of things that you would have had to have coped with in that year and traveling as a family. Does that help, you think, being, you know, in business together?
I think 100%. Like, for a whole year we were living together, like, backpacking together, our lives were all pretty mixed up. So, definitely, like, the relationships built from there, and we're all quite close.
We're a very, like, close, strong family unit. Even though we're all very split up around the country at the moment, I still feel like we're very much a unit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so, Megan, I would agree with that, and thanks for those earlier comments, Emma. So, let's start, and I'll start with you this time first, Megan. What was your kind of most earliest impactful memory that you can remember about being in the food production system, whether it was, you know, dairy farming or, you know, producing mussels? What was that memory that you sort of thought, hey, this is cool, this could be something I want to do?
I did love growing up on the dairy farm, and I love being outside and being like with the cows and doing work on the farm. But the real passion started when we started doing mussels, because I was so connected to the end consumer. Like, I know so many of the customers, and especially with our eatery in Havelock, you're getting face-to-face interaction with the customers. So you're producing this product and you're seeing them eat it, and it's like just a very close link to the consumer. And that's the part I get so excited about. And that excitement started when I started doing work at Mills Bay Mussels, I think.
Oh, hey, thank you for that. What about you, Emma?
Probably when I got a little bit older, when we came back from the world trip, Nick, Art and I, so Art's the youngest, we bought the autumn calves off of Mum and Dad's. We bought about 80 autumn calves off Mum and Dad, and raised them up and fed them up and then sent them off. And that was a real cool learning experience of doing the whole thing of feeding them, the animal health, learning about pasture, and then also the financial things behind it as well, which was really, really awesome. Real cool just to get amongst it and learn, like, at that age. And it's probably just carried on from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're both at Lincoln now. What are you thinking at the moment is an area that interests you? And we'll start with you, Emma.
So there's been a few, like, conferences that have happened and some workshops through uni that I've been to, and really inspiring people, like rural professionals. So more or less like the banking or the advisory, which is really cool. But my ultimate end goal is to own and run some farms, whether it be dairy or whatever. I'm still trying to find what I really enjoy. But at the moment, everything's quite inspiring. Like, there's so many new things and there's so many awesome opportunities out there that, yeah, just trying to find out which one is good and then going with that one.
And where I often, apart from New Year's Eve and hanging around strumming guitars with you girls, but where I often catch up with you is at conferences, and you're both really, for students, really engaged in understanding the challenges of the sector, the opportunity of the sector, and I guess in your mind, weaving yourself into those opportunities. So, Megan, what about you? What are you thinking in terms of the future?
Well, probably the part of the food production system I find quite cool is the end, I guess, where the consumers connect to the product. But I think there's huge opportunity to, like, shorten the supply chains and really connect the consumer to their food. I think there's huge like financial gain in shortening the supply chain in general, but just connecting people with the products they're consuming.
Mm.
I think there's so much opportunity to pull that closer together. And that's something that I'm quite interested in. And I don't know in what context, but I think that it will become clear. I'm definitely in an explorative phase at the moment. And it's so cool being at uni because people are very like open, information sharing, happy to answer your questions or show you around their business, which is really special. So it's quite a cool time to learn from other people what they're doing and sort of formulate my own ideas.
Yeah. When will you be finished your degree?
I'm on track to be finished in June next year.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting in the ag sector, and I'm interested in like aquaculture and getting quite a keen interest in horticulture as well.
So, and Emma, I mean, when are you finishing your degree?
It's a 4-year degree, but we'll see where the wind takes me.
see where it takes it. It's really interesting. Both of you have a very entrepreneurial bend to, you know, already you are on a trajectory to be masters of your own destiny, which when you think about your upbringing and your mum and dad and the family, that's really kind of no surprise. Is that different to some of the other, particularly young women, let's focus on them, that you're going through university with?
Yeah, can I answer this?
Yeah, and I'll
yeah, you go, Megan. Yep.
So, one thing that's resonated from the presentation you did at the BOMA conference about the sense of belonging.
Mm.
I think that for us, we've grown up in ag, and our parents are like really passionate about it, and they have friends in agriculture or like business connections, so we can sort of like join in and tap into that stuff. But there are a lot of my friends at uni that haven't come from that background, and it is harder, and I think it is harder to feel like they belong in the industry just because of its culture. Like if you're born into it, I feel like you've got a massive head start. Sometimes I have an opportunity to catch up with someone or go and have a look somewhere, and I try to bring those people along that, you know, aren't I don't really know how to say it properly.
No, it actually makes, you know, perfect sense. And I mean, this is why I love you two girls. You're just amazing.
I think, that is a little bit of, that is a big challenge for people. And yeah, I guess girls as well that haven't grown up in farming to have the confidence to feel like they belong on this career pathway and in these businesses.
Do you see the same thing, Emma?
Yeah, definitely. I reckon a lot of it comes down to like personality and a lot of like personal development. Like I've got a friend who hasn't come off of a farm, but really makes an effort, like bought a few sheep and really trying to get into it in that sense. So there's ways around it, definitely. But as Megan was saying, it's definitely an advantage being in the game
early. Yeah. So if we think about that concept of belonging, which is fundamental to all humans, and if we narrow it down to young women starting out in their career pathway, I mean, definitely our sector in the past has not been an easy place for women to feel that they did belong. And I really hope and see that that is changing. But what do you ladies see? Do you think it's changing, or do you think there are still challenges for young women who want to make a career in the agricultural, horticultural food production sectors?
Personally, I've never felt like there's anyone stopping me. Like if I wanted to go and do something, I haven't really felt like I can't, or that I've been judged for like being female to do it. But if I hear stories from mum, like when she was growing up, it was definitely like there weren't many young girls going farming, but now like at Lincoln I would guess about half of my courses girls, and personally I feel pretty welcomed.
Yeah What about you, Emma? I mean, if it's not personally yourself, have you started to hear things that people are finding it challenging to be thinking about a career in agriculture?
Yes I didn't really know. Like,
can I add
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
I think with girls in general, there's just that little hurdle of confidence.
Yeah.
That sometimes you just need to back yourself and know that you might not be good at it straight away, but no one is. So just give it a go.
Mm.
But I think that I struggle with that first initial barrier. It's like I just get doubt, like, oh, can I do it? Or, you know, do they want me to do it? Or, you know, yeah. And you just have like this little confidence, and it's a barrier. I think I'm not the only one that has that no. self-doubt sometimes.
No, it's...
I think getting over that little barrier is
yeah.
I definitely,
is something that girls, I think, have more than boys.
Yeah.
I definitely see it on... like with the guys or whatnot, like they're definitely like physically stronger than me, but like that's a bonus. But a lot of agriculture, especially, it's become like there's a lot more machinery, there's a lot more things like that can make it a lot easier. So that becomes less of a problem. Yeah.
Mm. So you're thinking physical, and Megan, you're thinking that self-confidence bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how important then is it for... how do we create, I guess, that confidence and that pathway for younger women so they are encouraged, and when they meet a hurdle, it's easier to go over? What are some ideas that you have either seen work or think would work? Being, you know, especially you, Megan, you're next year, you're launching yourself right out there. What are the things that are going to help you?
Well, the people I've met on my journey so far, like, invaluable to me. Yeah, I've met so many cool people, and it's really important to be connected and constantly, you know, meeting new people. And but I think one thing I'm excited about is we're going to be part of the Generation Change, the AWBT program, which is cool because that's one of those opportunities to meet other people that are like-minded and excited about the sector. And then once you leave uni, you have a bit of a support base, like you can talk to each other about, you know, what's working well for you and what are you struggling with, and just quite having a group like that, I think, is quite powerful as well. So I'm excited to see where that goes. I think that's a really cool initiative.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for that. It was the last piece of work I did before I left the trust, was that young woman's program. So, yeah, I'm really keen to see it expanded and start the conversations, definitely. Emma, what about you? What would help and support you? Because you want to take a more practical route into farming. So what are the things that you're thinking about which would help you get there faster?
So at the moment, over the holidays, I've made an effort to get a job on a farm.
Mm.
So I've gone up to the North Island in Te Awamutu, worked on a dairy farm up there, and then gone back down south to the farms. And I've really tried to get involved with young farmers and go on their field trips and just wherever there's an opportunity just to jump on it.
Mm.
And meeting people, as Megan was saying, is so valuable. You never know where the connections are, and funny enough, most people are related, so
something that you said before, Emma, which, you know, is really right. Personality does play such a role in actually A, confidence, but even B, getting out there and meeting people. Now, both you two are very personable young girls, and from what I've observed, you do not have an issue rocking up at conferences and, you know, introducing yourself. In fact, I'm sure I saw an Instagram post with you with Tongaroa Walker after the conference out on the town. But
I tell you what, though, it hasn't come naturally. Like, I used to absolutely despise going, but through the years, like through working at Mills Bay, I was front of house in the cafe, so spent a lot of time with the customers, which definitely like built that communication. And then after that, going to the conferences definitely helps with having us two together, because we can bounce off each other and get to know pretty much twice as many people at the same time, which is really, really awesome. But 100% did not come natural, and there's always that, like, you know, nervous we thing, but I reckon that pushing through that, and then that's where the satisfaction comes from. And then, like, you get better and better at it every time. You're not a master at it straight away, but
Yeah. You know, you've identified two of the golden rules of what we loosely term networking, which I think has got such a bad rap. But one of the golden rules is, if you're not natural at it, buddy up with someone who is. So you've taken your sister. And the other one is pushing through, breaking through. The more you do something, it's that 10,000 hour rule. The more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. And
if you're at conferences like that, everyone wants to network and everyone's curious to know. Mm. So you're like, even going into halls, everyone's in the same boat. You want to get to know as many people as you can. Mm. So just getting out there.
Yeah. So learned behavior either. It's definitely been learned behavior, and Dad has been really good bringing me along to things, pushing me out of my comfort zone. Like, go and talk to that person. Like, I'm sure you'll love chatting to them. And I'll be like, oh, no, I'm too scared. And he's like, oh, he'd be like, just do it. Just challenge yourself. So Dad really pushed me at the start, and that's really given me a really good like head start. And now. Now, like, you, once you start, you know, approaching people and just having like conversations like that, you gain a lot of confidence. And you realize, you know, everyone's up for a yarn.
Yeah, hours and hours there to finish, and Mum as well. When we went out to parties or something, that'd always be the last ones there.
Yeah,
it'll be in the car waiting,
and they love talking. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say you. Preempting all my questions, I was going to say you had great role models. I mean, Art would just talk to everyone. And Mum is probably more strategic. She'd probably follow it up with, you know, different conversations. But just coming back, Megan, when you said, you know, a little bit shy or, you know, nervous, what is going through your mind before you might go up to someone? What are you worried about?
When I was younger, I was worried that I wouldn't, like, why would anyone want to talk to me, because I've, like, I don't have any experience or anything. I'm just going up to learn from them, sort of thing, what I have to contribute to the conversation. But I don't know, it's always been really well received. People love talking and telling you about cool things they're doing and helping you. And yeah, so once you sort of go into a conversation nervous and you come out actually thinking, wow, that was an awesome chat, then you're on a roll and you get a bit more confidence to carry.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
And a real cool way to get into it is just to know some small chat lines, and then once you get into that, then you get into something that you both like and then both have in common, and then it goes from there. It just, yeah, it just keeps on going, which is really, really cool. And you have some really amazing conversations with people you wouldn't expect to have it with.
You've both jumped on something which I was going to chat to you about, because it's really interesting. On one point you're going, what do I talk about? I haven't done anything. And on the other, Megan, you said before, oh, what I've got to offer is young energy. So in a way, you doubt yourself over your experience, but actually you have young energy. I say you have more than that. So you have a worldview which is very different. Your lived experiences are very different to our generation. And if you think about Greta and the impact as a young woman that she has made on the world, because her view of the world is very different to someone else's view. So I think, don't doubt yourself around that worldview and your energy. But the other thing you talked about was their experiences, and you're 100% on the money. Most people love to talk about what they've done. And so having those opening lines about, you know, can you share with me your experiences of XYZ, or what do you think about this? I'm curious about this. What do you think about this? What experiences have you had? I mean, you really seriously only have to have two lines that are all about other people, and you're into the conversation. And then hopefully if they've got some social skills, at some stage they'll ask about you. What do you think of that approach?
Yeah, I like it. And sort of what I like to do now is I've realized that there's always, everyone's always got something interesting that they've done or that they're interested in. So I sort of go into every conversation excited to learn something cool about this person or something that they've done, because I know that everyone is really interesting once you get talking to them, and you never really know where the conversation is going to go. But it always, no matter who you talk to, you can always have a good chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Emma, have you got anything to add there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, so at uni here, it's really cool because Lincoln is obviously quite unique for a university and real cool, like-minded people. So whenever you we're at the pub or whenever you say that you're from Lincoln or whatever, it's you always stimulate a really, really cool conversation. And yeah, it's quite like always been around the farming community and in that scene. But here it's quite cool being with a lot of people my age. Talking about the future and talking about what the world has to offer.
Okay. Hey, so Emma, we'll start with you on this one. You know, what woman out there in the sector, and you're not allowed to talk about your mum because we're all a fan of your mothers. What woman out there kind of inspire you and tell us why?
I thought about this question and earlier on when you sent it, but I couldn't really think of specific people. Mm. But what I can think about is what people's like, because I'm really like big in the personal development kind of things and like just their personality and their personal attributes that really contribute to what where they are today and what they've done. So probably from multiple people taking that sort of stuff in. Yeah. Mm.
And if there was some older woman in the sector who wanted to support younger women, what do you think we have to do?
That's a good question.
Have a think on it, and yeah. I'll flick over to Big Sis here and ask that same question of her. You know, who do you admire out there and why, Megan?
Like Emma, I've got a range of people that I admire. One person that popped to mind when I got this question from you earlier was Rachel Tuilaley from Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've met her quite a few times. Well, talked to her quite a few times just through Muscles. We end up at a lot of seafood things together. And she always has like 5 or 10 minutes to talk to me and like listen to what I'm doing and just hype me up, like give me a good confidence boost of like what you're doing is awesome. And she's a busy lady, but she's always got time for a conversation, which is very cool. And I really admire all the things she does at Connor, and also a very different worldview and approach to business that I also quite admire. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've picked a brilliant one there.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. She's pretty awesome. Yeah. A couple more people, like this is like completely on the other the other end of farming, but like Paige, Nick's girlfriend, like every day she's up milking the cows, feeding the calves, getting it done. I really admire that as well. Like her work ethic is unreal.
Yeah, I think that is beautiful because you know my ethos is yes, there are those people who are really visible, but people like Paige are sort of only visible to a few amounts. But it's those same characteristics, isn't it, that actually you admire? It's the characteristics both of you have talked about that you admire in people rather than that they have a role or a title.
Yeah, it's what our Oma says, Grandma. She says it's not what you are, it's who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, Emma, we were leaving you with a question. Have you come back and thought about that?
So probably for an older, well, more or less like a mentor, it would be probably like answering the questions of like the unknown. Like all we've really known is going to school, going to uni, and then had a few summer jobs and whatnot. But definitely there's a big step in going from uni and then going into the big world and working full time and building up your own business and doing that sort of stuff. So there's so much there that I don't even know that exists, but is so essential. Yep. So just becoming aware of those things and having somebody to help you through it. So you don't,
Nice.
So
nice.
Being open, being approached.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're like experienced in the industry, being open to be approached by the young, youngins, which everyone that I've approached has been very open.
Oh, definitely honesty. The when you ask people questions, they're so honest about what's happened or what they're doing, and yeah, it's really it's quite cool. Yeah,
Someone else about role models, someone that's helped me a lot is Tracy Brown, mum's good friend Tracy Brown. Yeah, oh, you'll know Tracy too. And she's someone I've called a couple of times or messaged some questions to, especially around like environmental issues. And she knows a lot of cool people in farming as well. And she's always been really helpful to me, just answering my questions or saying like, oh, this person might be able to help you.
It comes back to that, those connections. Like, I'm trying to look for a summer job at the moment, and you just talk to so many people and they're like, oh, I know the person who does that, and oh, they do this. Like, yeah, it's quite special.
Yeah, so the first step, like to ring someone or to send them a message or go and see them, it's scary, but everyone is very helpful. Yeah
And I think those what I call them supported introductions. So you know, sometimes if you can make the approach yourself, you probably know someone who can make the approach on your behalf, and you know, go, hey, look, I know these gorgeous young woman, you know, can I introduce you to them? I think that often really helps, because it is quite challenging doing those, I guess, those cold calls.
I like how you put that, and maybe that's something you say, what can these ladies in the industry do. I feel like that is so powerful if you can do that informed introductions.
Well, because you're basically vouching for someone's integrity, and you know, people, you know, they do get a lot of asks of them. And in my experience, nobody minds helping if they can. I mean, sometimes you get an approach. I know I get an approach sometimes, and the timing is, you know, like I'm completely snowed under. But if someone has introduced me to somebody, in a way they're vouching for them, that they're not going to waste your time, because none of us want to give of our time and our energy, because that's really what it's about. If it's, you know, going to be that waste of time. So I think those supported introductions are really important and really helpful. Yeah. What else do you want to talk about? What are things that are worrying you about the sector at the moment?
Well, I worked up on a dairy farm in Te Awamutu over the holidays, and it was an amazing experience, and it was really cool to get away from the family farm and see how they all do it. But there's a common theme across everywhere that there's not very many staff, and there's definitely where there aren't very many staff, then it'll come to
you
me.
You mean that people are looking for workers and it's hard because of COVID?
Yeah, in general like that. Also, like, how do I say it?
Do you think it's the pressure? Are you feeling that if you are in a job because there's lack of other people to help and support, that there is more pressure on you in that job?
Definitely, yeah.
So, I mean, fatigue is really quite big in the sector at the moment, definitely. Mm. Yeah. What else are you seeing or concerned about?
There's a lot that goes on at uni about the like environmental pressures, and a common theme is that by, not too sure exactly what year it is, but the food production needs to increase, but also be in a sustainable system for the environment.
Mm. And do you feel that we are even close to describing what sustainable looks like?
No, and that's the root of the problem, that everyone has their own definition. So there's no clear path forward.
Yeah, like there's the 17 UN sustainable development goals.
Yeah.
It's so much more involved than just that.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So fatigue out there, not a lot of resource and concern around what environmental issues such as sustainability. What about you, Megan? What challenges do you think are out there?
Currently, I think, well, government is quite a factor in the forward progression of food and fibre. I don't know, I was at this conference the other day, and this family, they won an environmental award for their farm, and Damien O'Connor presented the award, and then they gave a bit of a thank you speech, and then he said, well, we just win this award for like the best environmental practice of the hort sector in New Zealand, and we can't actually get a consent to grow anything at the moment. So I think the government needs to rethink their strategy. So basically there's just no cohesion across the
Yeah, I think that cohesion is really huge. I've seen on Facebook today the howl of a protest. People are, you know, going to amp up their protests. And if you look at the nub of that, it is really about the unworkable policies. And it's not that they're anti-environmental issues or anti, you know, reducing carbon footprint. It's that what is the policy that is going to give us the best result? So does
I think it comes back down to what's the definition of sustainability and who decides? But in general, maybe another challenge is maybe like how do you harness entrepreneurial spirit? So yeah, how do you harness entrepreneurial spirit and get like more young people excited? Because there are a lot of excited people, but there's a lot of talent that I think we can capture in the food and fibre sector. So I think a challenge is, yeah, how do you capture that?
Yeah, how do you capture or how do you support it? Which one? How do you support that to grow?
Yeah,
or...
support's probably a nicer way to look at it. How do you encourage support and nurture that?
So Emma, we'll come back to you. Are you optimistic about the future of food production?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, there's so many opportunities out there, and then they say there's challenges, but you gotta take a challenge as an opportunity because there's always something that you can change in it, make it better. So definitely look at it in that light, because if you're gonna look at it from any other way, I don't think you'd get as much out.
Megan, what about you? Optimistic about the future?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's constant opportunity for continuous innovation. And like if you look at our farming practices in New Zealand or like around the world, they're constantly evolving. And there's so much opportunity to evolve further as the world progresses and changes. I'm excited about that. Yeah. And I think being in food production is just like the emotional component of it too is quite special to me, because at the end of the day, like you're producing food to feed people, and it's just like emotionally, it's just like such a rewarding thing to be doing.
And I guess that comes right back to what excited you both at the beginning of this podcast when you talked about that intimate connection between what you do and how you see people enjoying your food, and actually how we shorten that so we get that understanding. Because, you know, when you've got your gumboots on and you're out there in a day like today and it's freezing and you're up to your ankles in mud, it's very hard, and you're out shifting some brakes or moving stock because you need to be producing healthy premium quality. It's very hard to think about the end consumer in that, and particularly sometimes that end consumer is so varied. I mean, if we take our sheep, for example, you know, is it wool? Is it some of the byproducts of the sheep that is the end consumer? Is it the meat? You know, it's a whole variety of products, isn't it? When you think of a muscle, the end consumer, you know exactly who that is going to be and what's required. Yeah. So I'm going to end this podcast with the same question I ask everybody, which is, it's 15 years from now and we have nailed food insecurity and how we produce food in a sustainable, environmentally sustainable way. What do we have to focus on now to get there? And Emma, we'll start with you.
Well, first off, like personally for me, it would be education. So going through uni, definitely in that sense, to get to know more and understand more of the sector in all aspects of environmental production and management. So yeah, for me, it would be probably education, but the right education in this, in the area is the most important.
Cool. And Megan, what do you think we have to focus on?
Oh, that's a hard one, hey?
Oh, yeah. It's just what's on your mind? What do you think we have to know?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is just continuous innovation and an open mind to change. And that the mindset of we can always do better. We can always, like, embracing new opportunity, new innovation, new ways of thinking, that there's a constant culture of improvement. For me, I think that's really important.
Yeah. Hey, you two, thank you so much for joining me today, bringing your young energy and those experiences. And I'm sure with you both involved in food production, the future is going to be really, really bright.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, so am I.
What did you want to add, Emma?
So going on to the challenges of what's in the agriculture sector and the primary industry sector, as like back onto the personal development and the personal qualities. I did an Outward Bound course before Christmas last year, and thought it was an amazing opportunity, like got a lot out of it, got a lot of personal growth out of it. And then I worked on the farm over summer and like was thinking like this would be so awesome if people who worked on the farm could go on Outward Bound and experience that same thing. But the course I went on was 21 days, so it would have been a bit long to go out. So I got thinking, and so I've decided to run the Queenstown Marathon in my gumboots and overalls to raise money for rural people to go on an 8-day discovery course and get out there, out of their busy lives and then into the outdoors, and well, which they already are in, but really focus on their personal qualities and how to build on that and then back into the sector. So it has a bit of a ripple effect.
Oh, you too. You break my heart with your spirit or your characters. And that's a really interesting place to end that, because it ties into what Megan said, is keeping open-minded, being open to change and being innovative. We can't do that unless we have these experiences and this personal development that either stretches us or challenges our thinking. So thank you both so much for joining me today. Megan, do you want a last word? Because I just feel Emma's had a last word. I want to give you the opportunity.
I could talk to you all day, Lindy.
No, it's not about talking to me.
Just with my experience with mussels and being part of Mills Bay, I've learned so much. Earlier on I said that I was nervous and I wondered what I had to offer, but I feel like, I don't know. I don't really have a last word. I don't know.
I think we have a group last word to say thanks to Mum and Dad for giving us.
Yeah, well, that's where I was sort of going.
Yeah. And I want to thank Mum and Dad for producing you two as well. Let's just have a Mum and Dad show.
There you go. That's my last words. That from early on, Mum and Dad have been so open with what they're doing and challenging us and bringing us along. And like Dad especially, we've done a lot together with the mussels. And it's been huge for me, like opening my mind and learning. I've learned so much. And yeah, I'm really excited to keep working.
Well, I am excited both for the future of agriculture and for you too. Well, Megan and Emma totally made my day, and I hope they made yours. There is so much to love about these two. There is a real generosity of spirit about them both. The way they are opening pathways and opportunities for others through sharing their connections and their networks, or fundraising for leadership training. It's interesting, they see themselves as young energy. Now I see the wisdom, the generosity of spirit, and the maturity in them both. One of the questions raised by the girls is, how do you connect, feel like you belong in the agri sector, if you've not been brought up in it, or connected through family or experiences? This is something that's come up a lot in my years with working with young professional women.
They don't feel they belong if they don't have their fingers in the dirt. And I believe it's up to all of us to do something about this. Confidence comes up as number one barrier for young women still. But thank goodness we can talk about it now, normalise it, and do something to support it. I want to reflect a little bit on the topic of networking and making connections. This allows us to expand our knowledge and it creates opportunities for us. But if it's something that not all of us feel confident to do, what are a few things that help? Firstly, go with someone who is more confident at it to give you some courage. Your confidence comes through not thinking about it, but actually just jumping right in, and it will improve naturally over time. So don't expect to master it straight away. And networking is more about making connections and learning. It's less about talking or promoting yourself or making an impression. It's your interest, it's your curiosity that will make the impression. Remember that old saying? It's not what you say, it's how you make people feel that makes you memorable. Networking is exactly about that. And the last thing I want to reflect on, and I guess this really worries me, is the stress and the fatigue that these girls are already picking up on. The unworkable policies, the vagueness around sustainability, what that looks like, the lack of cohesion. If we don't get this right, we risk losing this young talent before they have even started. Thanks for listening. And if you have a young person who'd be keen to listen, please share it. Take care, everyone. Haere rā, until next time.